الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين صلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد قوله الحق أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا صدق الله العلي العظيم. May Allah accept our amal in this holy month and forgive our sins in this holy month. Every day we in this discussion, these discussions, we alternatively look at some tafsir of surahs, short surahs of Quran, and on other days we look at the ahadith and riwayat and akhwal of masumin regarding the holy month of Ramadan. So today we'll be discussing inshallah Surah An-Nasr and some meanings and tafsir of this surah. As we all know that the most important thing in this month is to be close to Holy Quran in both reading and understanding. And this is also a month of Tawbah and Munajat and Maghfirah. So Quran, the holy book of Allah, is the book that was revealed to us. And so it is called Quran Nazil. And the du'as that our a'imma have taught us, and the amal and the other things, are the Quran Sa'id, which is the Quran going up. Because they are also Lisan al-Ma'soom, the meanings and the words, especially in those accounts which are authentic, which they are the way a person, an abd, communicates with the Mawla. In Surah An-Nasr, I will just translate the ayat of this surah, ayat-e-karima, and then reflect on the meanings. With the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ إِذَا جَاءَ إِذَا in Arabic language is shart for future. إِذَا when, but not when in the past, but when in the future. The word for past is إِذْ. إِذْ is used for when, as if to say that remember when in the past. But Ida is for something that is to happen in the future. That means that this first ayat, whatever it is saying, it is something to do with the future. Ida ja'a, when comes the help of Allah and the victory, that means it is a basharat, it is a prophecy. Ida means when the, it's not saying when it came in the past, it's saying when it would come. When the help of God arrives and victory. Nasr. Nasr means help, support. Nasrullah, the help of Allah. Fath means victory. Fatih, the person who is victorious. So it is a basharat. In early Islam, there were many occasions where the Muslims, the believers, were given some basharat, some prophecy that this, you will have victory. There were situations where the victory was conditional. For example, if you remain steadfast, if you remain sabir, and if you remain loyal and faithful, then, for example, the victory will come. Here, it is said when the victory will come. That means the when the victory which is bound to come, right? In certain wars in early Islam, like the intakum minkum ishruna sabr, if there were so many people amongst you, you know, who were sabirun, who were steadfast, they will gain victory over 10 times more their number. You know, if 20 people were sabirun, then they will be victorious over 200 people. So sabirun is a big condition. Sabirun, have to be sabirun and steadfast. It's a big condition for people to remain steadfast even in the worst of circumstances. For example, they're feeling getting overpowered by the enemies, and many people run away. If 20 even remain, and they can win over 200. So in the same proportion, you can go ahead. But here it says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when the nasr and fath come from Allah, that means they will come. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you see, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ, النَّاسَ, النَّاسَ means people. When you see the people, يَدْخُلُونَ, enter, فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ, in the order of Allah, in the religion of Allah. Deen is in the program that Allah made for us. And you see that this deen is Islam. The deen, deenullah, is Islam. Because the Holy Quran says, inna deena inda Allahil Islam. The deen in the eyes of Allah is only Islam. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. A person who takes up another deen other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him. That means deenullah means Islam. So when the help of Allah comes and the victory comes, and you saw, and you, that is, you will see, because it's about future. Alaykum salam. You see in the future that people entering the deen of Allah, the religion of Allah, afwaja, horde on horde, large groups upon large groups of people entering the deen Islam. That means accepting Islam. And all at once. Not like, for example, few people this week and another few people next month. No. It's like horde on horde people entering Islam very fast. This, so there will be a great victory, and then followed by that, on that occasion actually, on that occasion you will see huge conversion towards Islam. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. So glorify your Lord. سَبِّحْ تَسْبِحْ. So glorify your Lord. So glorify with the praise of your Lord. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. And repent to Him. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Certainly He is forgiving. تَوَّابًا. Oft forgiving. Some of us seen, they misunderstood it as this fath is talking about Sulh Hudaybiyah, you know, or some other new victory in early Islam, early one of the wars that, but Battle of Badr, Muslims won the battle, or some other battle where Muslims won the battle. But the qareena of the ayat, the context of the ayat, clearly shows that it does not suit any other occasion other than the Fath Makkah. Because it was only on the occasion of Fath Makkah that hordes on hordes people converted to Islam in the same day. Thousands upon thousands of people converted all of a sudden to Islam. So when that happens, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Well, you see, the ghalaba of haq upon batil, the victory that kuffar were basically, once and for all, they were crushed. There was not much bloodshed, but some people were killed. And basically this encounter, Allah gave ghalaba to Islam, ghalaba to the Muslims over the kuffar and mushrikeen. And it was not out of, for example, a person may think that this is the waswasa of shaitan. That someone may think that this is, that Allah is revengeful, or Allah is taking revenge, is like anger of Allah. Like, you know, human qualities, that people get angry when they are attacked, they get angry and they take a revenge. In the case of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is unthinkable. Because there is no change in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Change, ghazab, for example, happiness, anger, changing qualities, this happened to material things like human beings, right? There is no change in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one day he would be happy, another day he would be sad. There is no such thing as change, harakat, or change in difference of kafiyat in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is wrong. That is unacceptable. So a person should tasbih of Allah, that he is mubarra and munazzah from all such human qualities, that he is not subject to any change. And it is the will of Allah that has taken effect. The will of Allah. Allah's will is that لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُولِي, that I and my prophets will gain supremacy. That haq, جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ, that haq has come and batil has faded away. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقَ, the batil was ever defeated. Batil was always dying and disintegrating. It is a promise of Allah that haq will prevail. The truth will prevail. So it is this manifestation of this promise of Allah, eternal promise of Allah. This is the goal behind Irsalur Rusul, right? That prophets were sent. They were not sent to preach only. They were sent to attain ghalaba over everything else. Haq and Islam will prevail over batil and shirk and nifaq and kufr all over the world. So by nature, the character of Islam is a religion of victory over all sorts of batil. So it was this promise of Allah that is coming true. Bihamdi Rabbika, it requires praise of Allah. The fact that, for example, the haq, people of haq have been given hukumat now and control over the whole of Jaziratul Arab. And from there, there will be further victories where Muslim armies will march into other territories and Islam will spread and take its course, and it will go on and on until Islam will dominate the world. This requires hamdi rabbika. The victory, in the sense that the crushing and the defeat of the kuffar requires tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the victory of the haq requires praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wastaghfirhu. Wastaghfirhu means, and you, O Prophet, seek forgiveness. Wastaghfirhu. In salat, every day we say, Astaghfirullah. There is not a command. That is a statement, that is supplication. Astaghfirullah, Rabbi wa atubu ilayh. Oh, I seek. Astaghfiru, I seek ghufran, maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbi, Lord, wa atubu ilayh, and I turn towards Him. That's astaghfiru. But here, it is wastaghfirhu. And it is a command. The Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is being required to do tasbih and praise of Allah and istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, istighfar is from a sin. Generally, when we say astaghfirullah, now what did the Prophet, what was he doing istighfar for? Did he have any sins? Did he do anything wrong for which he is asking for forgiveness? Allama Tawatawai believes, he says that this is for the continuation of maghfirat. He is already مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah has forgiven everything about the Prophet. But the continuity of this maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires dua. Right? He's not done anything wrong for which he would be repenting. But for this grace of Allah to continue, so that, you know, this ismat is a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not everyone who is a good person is ma'soom. Ismat is something that person never does anything wrong. Because of the level of his ilm and iman and yaqeen, that he never does anything against the will of Allah, against the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a favor. This is a grace given to only a few people. And such favors of Allah require shukr and require istighfar so that they will continue. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Certainly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relenting. He is forgiving. The liberation of Makkah happened in the 8th year of Hijrat. After the Prophet migrated to Medina, why did he migrate to Medina? Because they were after his life. They wanted to kill him, murder him. There was an attempt on his life, collective attempt to assassinate him. And he left Makkah because of that. 8 years in Medina, where so many wars were imposed, so many difficulties, hardships, and all of that, that the whole Arabia came against the city of Makkah, Medina, and the Mu'mineen, what was the battle in which the whole of all the kuffar, not just Makkah, all over, they all coordinated their efforts and they came, they attacked and ambushed and besieged the city of Medina. Which battle that was that? Yes. What was the name of the? What was the name of that battle? Where Medina was surrounded. They were like several times more than Muslims. 10,000 strong army, around 10,000 of kuffar, they came and they arrived at Medina and they found that there was a trench outside the city, right? So what was the name of the battle? Khandaq. Battle of Khandaq, right? Okay, you need to wake up, okay? Loud salawat, please. So, all of that happened. And then one day, what happened was that the Holy Prophet saw a dream that he is offering Umrah in Masjid al-Haram. So he took Muslims with him. Few thousand Muslims, couple of thousand Muslims, I don't know exactly the number. But when they arrived close to Makkah, they were not allowed to enter the city. They were unarmed, they were just wearing libas ihram, but they were not allowed to enter the city. Finally, on that occasion, an agreement was signed. An agreement. Alaykum salam. That agreement is called Sulh Hudaybiyah. Sulh Hudaybiyah. Sulh means Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah was the place where this treaty took place. And what happened was that in that treaty, there were several points agreed on by both parties, Muslims and the Kuffar. One of the articles in that agreement was that the tribes, any tribes in Jaziratul Arab, any tribes, Arabian tribe, could join either of the two sides. So you could be on the side of Islam, or you could be the side of Quraysh. Side, you know, you could sign a, for example, the tribe usually had agreements, right? And for example, sometimes people gave, there were agreements and that two sides agreed upon that they will protect each other in case of attack. And there were situations where an individual or a group could give refuge to anyone, even a person who kills somebody's son, if he could, he would come to his house and ask for refuge. According to the Arab custom, that father would give refuge to that person and would not kill that person as long as he is in his protection. So that was another custom. Jivar, they used to call it. To take refuge. Okay. Now here the contract of Hudaybiyah was signed that any tribe could. So Bani Khuza'a, they signed, they decided to join the side of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of the Bani Khuza'a had converted to Islam. But Bani Bikr, another qabila, they decided to stay with Quraysh. So this Sulh Hudaybiyah happened and they all went back. Muslims were not able to perform Umrah that year. They were allowed later on, according to the decision. Next year they were allowed. When they went back, the Bani Bikr, the qabila on the side of Quraysh, they attacked Bani Khuza'a and killed them while they were doing their salat and they were praying, they killed them. And the help was coming from Makkah. They were sending arms. They were sending arms to the qabila which was in contract with them. But decision was that they will not support, neither Medina nor Makkah will not support any act of aggression against the other or against any party affiliated with the other party, with the Makkah or Medina, right? So what they did was, the Quraysh broke the treaty of Sulh Hudaybiyah. Quraysh, by supporting Bikr against the Muslim tribe Bani Khuza'a, they broke the Sulh Hudaybiyah. When that happened, obviously the word got around. The people start talking about the treaty has been violated. What does that mean? The side which has been whose haq has been violated has the right to take revenge now. You know. So the peace, the amnesty is lifted because they violated. Amnesty against Quraysh is lifted now. So Abu Sufyan came all the way to Medina to get, you know, refuge from one of the people in Medina. If any Muslim, according to Arab custom, considering that the Commonwealth of Medina was one large group, anyone, any Muslim would give panah to Abu Sufyan and Quraysh, then Muslims could not take any action against Quraysh. Right? So Abu Sufyan tried to, before Muslims would take any action against Makkah, he came to Medina to seek refuge from someone. So the Muslims, because sitting in Makkah, they were seeing how Islam has prospered, how strong this Hukumat Islami has become in Medina. As a result of that, so he came to Medina, no one gave him refuge. The Holy Prophet had told the people that Abu Sufyan is coming and he will be seeking refuge from you all. So the duty was clear. It has been established by now that without the order and permission of the Holy Prophet, no Muslim could give refuge to anyone. Because it was a political move. For you to give refuge to your enemy, it is not like those tribal customs where anyone could give refuge to anyone. Now this is the Islamic State. In Islamic State, individuals don't make their own decisions. The decisions goes to Waliya Faqih. Today, in the time of Holy Prophet, the Holy Prophet of Islam, or any of the Aimma Masumin alayhi salam, is the Wali Amr Muslimin. You know, Wali Amr. Ulul Amr. So, no one gave refuge. He even came, Abu Sufyan, came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked for refuge. Allahumma sallam. The Holy Prophet said, have you violated? You know, have you committed any aggression against any Muslims? So he said no. He lied. So on the basis of what he said, the Holy Prophet said, if you have not committed any aggression against any Muslims, then you are in our protection. Then the truce holds, still holds. There's no fear. But the assumption was wrong. He was lying. He didn't say that something had been done because he knew they had committed aggression against a tribe which was Muslim and in agreement with in the panah, in the refuge of Islam. Abu Sufyan was not satisfied. He knew that he was lying, and he could not get what he was looking for. So he went to the house of Habiba, the wife of Holy Prophet, and Habiba was a daughter of Abu Sufyan. He went in the house to the house of his daughter Habiba, and he wanted to sit on the, that mat, which was the place where the Holy Prophet used to sit or rest. As soon as he entered the house, he tried to sit over there. Habiba grabbed the mat and took it away. Abu Sufyan said, "You don't want to allow your father to sit on this mat?" She said, "This is the mat on which the Holy Prophet of Allah sits, and you are a kafir and a najis person. And I will not allow you to sit on the place of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So the family ties were not supreme anymore. Islam and Iman was supreme. You would not support your family if they are wrong. You would support the haq and the right thing even at the expense of the someone's dissatisfaction, right? Salawat. So when that happened, now he went to the house of Siddiqatul Kubra Fatimatul Zahra salamu alayhi, and begged her that if you give me refuge and if you give Quraysh refuge, right, you will be the best woman in Arabia. As if he is going to decide who is the best woman in Arabia. Allah has decided for Fatimatul Zahra salamu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So she did not accept. She did not give him refuge. That I will not give refuge to the enemy of Rasulullah. So then he turned towards Hassan and Hussein. He said to Siddiqa salamullah alayha, "Why don't one of your sons, Hassan or Hussein, give me refuge?" She said, "They are too young. They are young for this. They do not involve themselves in such matters." Anyway, so then Abu Sufyan came to Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi as-salam. Salawat, please. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And asked him for advice what to do. Of course, Imam did not give him refuge either. So he asked Imam alayhi wasalam, "Tell me what to do. No one is giving me any protection." So Imam said, he thought and he said, "I can't think of anything except that you go to the masjid and you declare in the masjid to all the people present in the masjid that I, Abu Sufyan, give refuge to the people of Quraysh." Because Imam said, you are a senior person, you are one of the leaders of Quraysh, you give aman to yourself and the people. Anyway, he said, "Would that solve my problem?" Imam said, "I don't think it will solve your problem, but I cannot advise you on anything else. I'm just translating the mazmoon, the short of it." So he went back, people made fun of him, Abu Sufyan. That Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, took you, as in English today, they say, took you for a ride, You couldn't achieve anything from your visit to Medina. And he said, "No, Ali alayhi salam, he was trying to help, but there was nothing he could do." Whatever. But the Holy Prophet then made the dua to Allah. "Oh Allah." Yes, before that, the people of Khuza'a came to the Holy Prophet. Read Ash'ar and cried and said, "We have been killed while we were praying. People from Quraysh and the Bani Bakr, they came and slaughtered our people. And they have broken the treaty that they had signed with you." After he pleaded his case, he made his appeal to the Holy Prophet. The Holy Prophet got up and he said, "This much is enough." He went into the house, he did the ghusl, and he said, "This appeal to me is binding on me, because we have an agreement, and it has been there has been now pressure against people who have an agreement with us. So we will have to do, we will have to take action now. And in the meantime, another person came with the same appeal. The Holy Prophet decided and he made the dua, O Allah, we want to march towards Makkah and I ask you to keep this a secret so that no one in Quraysh would know that we are marching towards Makkah. 10,000 strong army. One person in Medina tried as a spy, you know, he tried to send a letter to Quraysh to inform them, warn them this, that the Muslims are marching towards Makkah. But Jibreel alayhi salam came and told the Holy Prophet about this conspiracy. The Holy Prophet ordered Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam to immediately go and arrest that person. And that's what he did. Then the army marched towards Makkah. Except for the few people, I will summarize this, that they entered the city of Makkah from Jahun, or Hajun, I'm mixing the word. That's where the qabr of Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra is, in that area of Makkah. Those of you who have been to for Hajj or Umrah, have been to Ziyarat of Janab Khadija's grave, it's not no structure over there anymore. The Wahhabis have destroyed. But the qabr is still there. That was the area from where the Holy Prophet marched into the city of Makkah, and he gave orders that that such people, 4 or 5 people, have to be immediately executed. 4 of them were the leaders who had committed crimes, and 2 of them were singers, and poets and singers who used to sing and write poetry, making fun of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This order was given. Only one person managed to escape. The rest of them were all taken care of by Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat. And then the Holy Prophet entered Masjid al-Haram and he said, all people who enjoyed privileges, all those privileges are under my feet from today. Except 2 posts which will be stay respected in the city of Makkah. One is the position of the cover of Kaaba, those who take care of the ghalaf of Kaaba, and the other is Siqayatul Hajj, those who are responsible for making arrangements for water for the Hajjis. These 2 positions will be honored. As long as they do their duties, they will be restored on their positions. Otherwise, many people have been enjoying privileges, special grants, special, you know, of privileges, and the Holy Prophet removed all of that. The Holy Prophet said, you were bad neighbors for me. You rejected me. You turned against the Prophet of Allah. You tried to kill me. You forced me out of the city. And then while I was away, you still were not satisfied. You waged war against us in Medina, right? And despite all that, now here, this part, there are other accounts in history which say the Holy Prophet asked them, how do you expect to be treated today? What kind of treatment do you expect from me? And some of them, they raised their voices, they said, Akhun Kareem, Wabna Akhin Kareem. They said, you are an honorable brother, son of an honorable person, right? And the Holy Prophet, according to this account, he said, that I will say to you what Yusuf said to his brothers. La tathrib alaykum al-yawm. Fadhhabu fa antumut tulaqa. He said, go free because you are the freed people. So according to the, you know, rules of war, after occupying Makkah, they were all the slaves of Holy Prophet. They were all prisoners and they were all the slaves of Holy Prophet. And they were slaves which were freed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were not like common Muslims, people who convert to Islam. They were tulaqa. Tulaqa are prisoners. They are like criminals who are freed. Like your amnesty is given to prisoners, criminals, you know. That was the status. And such people were called tulaqa even after. Much later they were called tulaqa. Even in the khutbah of Janab Zainab Kubra Salaamu Alaihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our ibadat and help us to take lessons from the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat.